All right. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews. Did this section that I'm going to go over again today because I had all these notes on it and I only got through three of my questions and one of my points. So I had 4 points and 7 questions. So I want to continue to hit this section up at least one more time because I think there's a lot of good discussion in here. So let's go back and look at it starting in verse 12. Take care, my brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Okay. So last week we kind of ended with our responsibility to help others. That's kind of in verse 13. And so I kind of want to pick back up in 14 where he says, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So in what way are we shared in Christ? Paul uses a similar phrase. He says, partakers in Christ. So in what ways are we partakers in Christ? I think that's probably the most obvious one, is how we partake in the Lord's Supper or communion, or it's even called the Eucharist. What else away are we? Do we share in Christ? Our inheritance. I think that's very important. Would you like to elaborate on that, Mark? No. Yeah.
So, whatever
inheritance Christ has, we Okay. Yeah, our inheritance in Christ is very important because it's one of the things that stands out to us as Christians, especially as opposed to those who are not Christian. We have grace, which is given to us by God, and because of that, we get to partake in that inheritance. I kind of talk a little bit about this in my sermon today. So I won't spoil that for you. So, us sharing in Christ, we kind of do that as an example. And here he uses, in verse 15, he says, he quotes the Old Testament. Let me see. I didn't actually write down what this was. Okay, he's quoting Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8 for emphasis, because he's making this transition from how we should support one another to those who didn't support one another. So if you remember from last week, we talked about where he says, exhort one another every day. And we kind of talked about how we do that. And since he shifts into 16, we see that he starts talking about how Moses, and not Moses, but in the time of Moses, they were in the wilderness. And if you remember from my sermons a few weeks ago, I actually did talk about this. So there was a lot of rebellion. Moses was on the mountain for a very, very long time. And being the smart people they are, they decided, oh no, we lost our leader. And so, make us a new leader. Let's make this one out of gold. I think this is the particular event they're referring to, though they could be referring to a little bit later, where it talks about them going into the promised land, and then sending the spies into the promised land. But it's clear that they rebelled against God. And I think that the two tie in together, because while we should support one another, when we don't support one another, there tends to be strife. Or, he says here, rebellion. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I was saying support, but I use those interchangeably. Do you think there's a difference? Mm-hmm. Okay. Emphasis on this word today. In fact, he uses it twice in the chapter. Once in verse 7, and another one in verse 15. Do you think there's anything significant about this word, the use of the word today? Why do you think that's significant? Strongly encouraged? By what? Oh. I don't think so. Not strongly. I haven't had anyone come up to me and I get the normal support I always get, like from my wife and from you guys, but I never had anybody come up to me recently and say, hey, I really want to encourage you, or I want to focus on building you up. I mean, normally that's what I do to other people. No, I can't think of anything recently. Maybe it's I'm missing the obvious. And that might be another thing to it, is maybe I'm just not seeing the forest through the trees. Sure. I like this. Let's talk about this for a second. When's the last time any of you were strongly encouraged? No? Can't think of it?
I'll say that I got strongly encouraged just the other day. And it's just very positive and just had some good people over my house to rock that boat.
Strongly encouraged, you have to make an effort to strongly.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that depends on the person. But I think almost all of those mean taking time, you taking time out of your day to go to that person and committing at least time to them. Not in passing, not when you know you're already going to be together. But like you said, that person went to your house. Maybe it was planned, maybe it wasn't. Oh, but there's an interesting thought. Are you willing to accept your encouragement? Especially if you're already in a situation that aggravates you. You don't want to hear it. Oh, I know when I'm frustrated, I may know exactly the answers to get out of frustration, but I also know that I don't want to hear them. Are you the best grandma in the whole world? I think my grandma's pretty awesome. Well, that would be very encouraging. I made sure I called my grandma for Thanksgiving. I've only got one left. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Anyone else been strongly encouraged or had to strongly, let me ask it the other way, has anyone else had to strongly encourage someone else?
Had to?
No, or wanted to. Yeah. In this case, I think it could apply either way. Sometimes you do have to, but you should want to do it. In fact, I think maybe even I think we should be encouraged to. Last week I saw somebody, I don't even remember who it was, and I gave them a hug. And they were so happy I gave them a hug. And I don't even know why, because I don't even remember ever hugging that person before. I gave them a hug. And they were so excited to get a hug from me. and I'm like, I don't even think I've ever hugged you before, so I don't know why I felt compelled to do it then, but they said they were very happy they got it. So sometimes you're even going to encourage them when you don't even know you're doing it. There's another thing I'm going to talk about in my sermon today is these continuous actions that we're to take as Christians. And though this isn't one that I was going to mention, but I think that this action should be a continuous action. And by that I mean it should always be happening, so we should always be encouraging one another. I think this is one of the reasons that we go over our prayer list every day. Not every day, but every week. Is to make sure that the people who need the encouragement are getting the encouragement. Something back to your question earlier, how I've been really encouraged, and actually yes, two times this last week I was really encouraged. See, I knew there had to be something. One of them, they both happened on Wednesday night, and one of them was just the whole Wednesday night service. We did something a little bit different, and everyone talked about the things that they were thankful for, and I thought that was very encouraging. It's very uplifting listening to that. But the second one actually had to do with your granddaughter. On Tuesday, the Jennies were playing, the girls, Jennies basketball team was playing, and that was their annual invite all the kids to come and watch the basketball game. And Layla was there, and she saw me, and she on Wednesday night, she told me that she was so excited to see me at the game, even though I didn't see her at the game, and she was glad that I was there. And that was really the first time that she's ever come to talk to me about anything. So that was very encouraging, even though it was something about something that I had no clue would even happen. Your grandchildren are sweet. Were you guys encouraged over Thanksgiving? I know that can be a stressful time.
Our two granddaughters are, I think, 35 and 36. Our two grandsons.
They're older than me.
Our two grandsons, Cole, 28, and Sam, 26.
Wow.
Yeah, we just got them all the way, and they're just all wonderful.
Great. We should be encouraged by our is right. Even though they drive us crazy. And I wasn't greatly encouraged by this, but I was encouraged to see, we went out Black Friday shopping, and I always hear horror stories about Black Friday shopping, but everything I saw was very civil, and people were very polite. I didn't see anyone being rude. I heard people say, excuse me, please, and thank you, and that was also very encouraging, so it kind of gives me faith in humanity. All right, so let's kind of shift towards the end here. So we're talking, this is in the context of Moses. He says in verse 17, and with whom was he provoked for 40 years? And I want to talk about this idea of provoking God. In context, the Israelites are provoking God through their lack of faith and their disobedience. But what other kind of things provoke God? Mm-hmm. We don't have the same idolatry that they... Yeah. Covet. We could probably pretty much go through the Ten Commandments there, right? I think also in Galatians it lists as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit, the thing God likes, it also has a list of seven things, I think it's seven, of things God don't like. Are you specifically referring to God or in general? Not necessarily. I think maybe for the most part it does. But I disobeyed my parents a lot as a kid. That didn't mean I didn't believe them. Maybe. I was certainly told better. That's an interesting thought. Did I know better? I don't know. It was a while ago. I think part of it's just human nature. That's not an excuse. I don't think there's any excuse. But I'm not sure it all has to do with your lack of faith. I think strong faith would probably discourage it. It could just be where you're at. To grow into maturity, just like you have to grow into faith.
Well, that would be a lack of unbelief. You got to grow, right?
I guess it depends on the context you're using it in. Are you using it because you haven't achieved it, or are you using it because you're losing it? All right. I don't have anything else to say about that. Yeah, you're probably right. About it's probably all stems down to a lack of faith. I feel like there's more there, but I just can't put my finger on it. Okay. That would be a good place to stop. I think that pretty much covers chapter 3. I have a few more points, but I think at this one, I've already got the next lesson, so we're already to go for chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. I actually like that. I started typing them out. I figured it's a lot easier to read than this. All right, so let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together, Lord, and